and to know your goodness and see your glory. We're transformed by this one thing, to know your presence and see your beauty. Now, I'll say this about the encounter. We are a presence-centered church. What do I mean by that? My prayer is that every person here encounters God when they walk into this place. And by the time they leave, they've had a time with God that will change them. That's my prayer. And there's a part that says, I can see it now, your kingdom come. I can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. We're asking for a greater measure. And it gets to the point where it says, so come and blow on through. And those words gripped me when we were singing it. And there's a story in the Word of God you're all familiar with. Jesus was about to leave, right? He's like, okay, sayonara, see ya. But I want you to do this one thing. Go over here and wait, because I'm going to send you something that you really want. Matter of fact, you need it. You're going to have power to do all the things that you need to do without me. Now, it's not a great story because, you know, whenever my wife tells me she's leaving me, I'm not happy. So I can't imagine they were thrilled that Jesus was saying, hey, I'm going, but I got something for you. But you know what? He had something for us. So the ones that waited, right, story in Acts, they were all waiting. Some left. They couldn't wait long enough. There's a promise made by God, and some couldn't hold out. I want to say something to everyone here. You all have promises that God's given you. This place has promises that God's given us. Wait. He is faithful. You will see your promise come to fruition. And it says, and suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind. You know, and when I think of blow on through, I think, okay, like crank up the fans and I feel it. No. A sound. A sound came. I haven't thought much about the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Maybe when I'm walking around on the cruise deck and like just blowing you sideways, you know, you hear the sound. I like cruising. But it was a sound, and this is what struck me in worship. I don't know if you guys notice it or not, but I do as one of the leaders here. I'm always trying to sense, what's God doing? And I want to take my hands off of it and let God do it. But I want to know God's doing something. There's a sound you all make when you unify in worship, where I know God's about to do something. Because it's just a sound. See, he says when two or three of us gather in his name, he's there. When all of you are united in doing something, worshiping God, there's a sound. It transcends the music. And I almost feel like I can hear heaven join in. And I know God's about to do something. I'm telling you, there's a place we should be going in worship in our pursuit of God corporately, that we don't go individually. There's a corporate anointing that can take place, that something's about to happen. What happened? They saw tongues of fire, but even more so, they started babbling in all these tongues in public, but what happened? They preached to every tribe and nation that was present, and a multitude got saved. See, stuff happened. Why? Because of the sound. So I want to tell you, be sensitive to the sound when we gather. And then go with where it blows. Because he wants to manifest his presence in your life. He wants to see his promises fulfilled in your life. He's going to do it if you'll wait for the sound. So that was what the message was about. There's a lot more there, but I wanted to just tell you that was a word for you all. Okay, how many remember the last time I spoke? Okay, it's on the website. You can go back and re-listen to it. Okay, and you should do it. There's been some really good words coming through this place. The title was, You Are... Okay, I'm not going on until you tell me. What? My daughter pays attention. She also does the website, so she knows she is. Right? You are righteous. I'm really big on identity. I think the biggest challenge to the people of God is to be who they are in Christ and to identify with that, because everything else will take care of itself if you'll simply do that. We've spent so much time in the church trying to deal with behavior, same way the Jews did under the law, and it never dictated good behavior. It only dictated poor behavior, and then we have to get into punishment and all this stuff. Nonsense. Let's deal with who we are, know who we are, and be who we are, and watch God move. So I talk a lot about identity. So today we're going to talk about you are free, or freedom is who you are. Now, Terry, I went back and listened to Terry's message, because when he spoke on July 4th weekend, I was grilling, and I told him he didn't give me enough time to finish before you all got over there. But it was a really good word, and I thought, I'm going to be so redundant in what he said. But that's okay, because I believe we need to capture something here today and not take the grace of God and abuse it, but use it properly. And if we do that, we'll identify that I'm free. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak truth to your people. Let them see what you've accomplished already in their lives. That you've laid a table before them and they can simply feast and live in the joy of the Lord and live free in this world that desperately needs to see what freedom is. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Freedom, or free, is who you are. Now, there's a story in Genesis. It starts in the beginning. It's a pretty good book. I suggest you read it. It's called the Bible. It says, in the beginning. It talks about God's creation, right? And in the end, he made me and he said, this is very good. Does yours read differently?
I think so.
Yeah, slightly different. Okay, he made man, but I am a man. So, how many know he thinks you're very good? He's made you very good. You were created very good. Matter of fact, I'll go even farther. You were created holy and perfect. You were created righteous and free. Your identity upon creation was free and righteous and holy and perfect. That's who you are. So, the problem we had, and the problem we still have at times, is we don't believe what God says. Yeah. So then the moment the enemy comes, and the enemy always comes, and tries to use the words you already know but with a different twist, he comes from a different foundation to confuse you, you forget who you are, and you buy into the deceit. So he did that with Eve, and Adam sat there and listened and did nothing to stop it, didn't correct it. Men, you're responsible. Don't point it to your woman and say it's her fault. You're responsible, and you're accountable before God. You allowed the fall of man. You chose to say, maybe I'm not created in his image. When God said, let me create man in my image. So what happened? You lost your freedom. Man fell and sin entered the world. Guilt and shame entered the world. But more than anything, corruption entered the world. And now we live in a corrupted world. To the point that at some point in time, God's going to say enough of this world and just create a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll have come full circle. So the story starts out good, goes really bad, but the end's really good. It's truth. But the problem through the whole thing is God trying to call you back to who you are. And who you are is free. The Bible gives all kinds of warnings of how to manage your freedom. You know, I think the United States is a perfect example of that. They don't know how to handle their independence. They don't know how to handle the Constitution or the amendments that have taken place. Some of the crap that's going on in our nation should not be allowed. Well, I'm free. Not to do that, you're not. Freedom comes with consequence. Some of these people just need to be put away. That's the truth. If you don't like it, too bad. That's the truth. Actions have consequences. There's consequence for every word that comes out of my mouth today, with you and with God. Some of you, I'll say something you won't like. You'll let me know. Some of you will like something. You'll let me know. Ultimately, I have to stand before God. He'll let me know. So there's a verse that I've never really truly gotten the full revelation of this verse. And when I was younger, I just thought it was stupid. Honestly, it says Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I was like, yeah, freedom. I mean, it's too simple to make sense, you know. But I want to dig into this verse a little bit, because really that's who we are. And it's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Jesus came solely to set you free, to restore you to who you are. Not who you were, to who you are. See, those that don't know Christ don't know who they are. Problems with a lot of us Christians is we accept him as Savior and Lord, but we haven't come to a full realization of who he is in us. Okay, and who he is in us is a lot more important than who you think you are. Some people live in a constant state of repentance because they think they're in such an awful place and they're such an awful person. And God's like, dude, I made you righteous. I made you holy. Can't you see the end? I created you perfect. I'm restoring you to perfection. Renew that mind. That is some stinking thinking. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. So let's look at these words. And some of this is redundant, but that's okay. Freedom is eleutheria. Eleutheria. It's actually a noun. It says, it is liberty to do or to omit things having no relation to salvation, right? You can't do or earn your own salvation. So outside of that, liberty to do or to omit. Liberty from the yoke of the law. I like this one. Freedom from the dominion of corrupt desires. So that we do by the free impulse of the soul what the will of God requires. I like this one. Freedom from Christian religion, which furnishes the rule of right living by which liberty just mentioned is attained. What's that mean? It's saying religion doesn't bring you into freedom, because religion dictates the things you do. That's what the law did. And what did the law do? Convince you that you are a failure, because all you can do is fulfill the things the law says not to do by doing them. And we constantly get in this cycle that I don't want to do the things I do, and we have that whole excerpt that we go through that, you know, I'm just a sinner. I'm not. God doesn't call me a sinner. He calls me a child. He calls me a saint. He calls me a holy one. He calls me perfect. My inheritance is what Jesus is in. Why? Because I died and he lives in me. So what does he see? He doesn't see the wretched man that I am. He sees the perfect man that Jesus is. Identify properly. Freedom from the restraints and miseries of earthly frailty. I like that one, because the truth is, the only thing about me that's going to die is this shell that needs replaced anyways. I won't die. I've been guaranteed I won't die. I've been set free from death. I'm going to get a upgraded body. That's it. I think some of us are to the point in life we wouldn't mind a few upgrades in our body. It'd be nice not to do this. It's so funny. I keep increasing font and think it's going to do something. Okay, so that's what freedom is. So what's it really say? I'm free to walk in relationship to God in every circumstance through life. That's really what it says. What controls me? Myself. It's called self-control. That's how he created me to be, in relationship with him and practice self-control. How does that happen? I walk with God. The only time I see man mess up in the Bible is when he wasn't with God. What do you mean? Adam and Eve were off doing something. God wasn't walking with them at that time. They were left on their own. They listened to some reptile. But it's to set us free, which is an action word. So now it's Eleutheroo, O-O, which means to set free or to liberate, to exempt from moral, ceremonial, or mortal liability. Properly set free, so release from bondage, to remove the restrictions of sin. Because delivered by God into true spiritual liberty. To make free, set at liberty from the dominion of sin, to liberate from bondage, that we might be possessors of liberty. And I'm taking it a step further. Not only are you a possessor of liberty, you are liberty. So, why do I say all this stuff? I want you to understand the foundation of what Jesus has done. Now, both these words come from the foundational word or the root word, Eleutheros, which means unrestrained, to go at your pleasure. As a citizen, it means to not be a slave, whether freeborn or set free, emancipated, exempt from obligation or liability, properly free or unbound or unshackled. Free, exempt, unrestrained, not bound by an obligation. No longer obligation to, so that one may now do what was formerly forbidden by the person or thing to which it was bound. In an ethical sense, free from the yoke of the Mosaic law, from the bondage of sin, left to one's own will and pleasure as respects to righteousness. So, in summary of all these words, here's what Strong's had to say. The believer is released from sin's bondage, adopted into God's household, empowered for self-giving service, all while anticipating the consummate liberty at the age to come. You are free, you will be free. So, thought to myself, what am I free from? And I just want to deal with a couple things really quick. I told my wife I'd managed to go a half hour so she could get where she wants to on the kids' service. So I'll read really slow. No, I can talk. So the first one is free from sin and death. I just talked about it, the verse. You guys all know, right? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And a lot of people have a problem with this stuff. I'm not going to get into it. Believe it or not, up to you. Word says the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the... So you live under whichever one you want to. But don't come to me with your issues, because I'm going to point you to the law of the Spirit of life. I was bound to something. I'm no longer bound to it. I see too many people want to stay bound to stuff they were set free from. At some point, I don't know how to help people that want to hold on to the things that they have already been set free from. And then when I say, well, just let it go, they act like they can't, and they're the one holding on to it. The chains were broken, and you're dragging the chain around. Why did you pick the ball back up and start dragging it? I'll pray for you, but Jesus has already set you free. Do you see yourself free? See, I see myself free from sin. I know I'm free from death. That's a given. See, my father's body got put into the grave. He didn't get put in the grave. They can do whatever they want with my body, burn it. I don't care. I need a new one anyways. But I'm not dying. Why is it easy for me to believe that, but so hard for me to believe I'm set free from sin? Certain things are opposed to each other. I can't be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and sin. You've been set free from sin. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are bound to sin. It's that simple. And the punishment of sin is death. You will die. Romans 6:18 says this, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And it goes on in verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. I love the verse in the Bible, or the passage in the Bible, where Jesus is dealing with the woman. And, you know, yeah, you've had five husbands and adultery and all these things. And, you know, we all like to throw stones and accuse people and hold their sins against them. And he looks at her, go and sin no more. What did he do right there? It's the same thing he did for us. He really foretold what's going to happen on the cross in telling her that. He set her free with those words from her sin and gave her the ability through his grace, same ability you have, to not sin. The grace of God has been given to you so you have the ability to live in this corrupt world and not be tarnished by it. Use grace wisely. And there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that talks about not indulging. Don't use your freedom to do the things you used to do. I just want you to identify with being free. We can clean up the rest later. Free from guilt and shame. I've known so many people that can't forgive themselves. You know, I remember all the crap I've done. I just don't let it get a hold of me. It'd take me down a really ugly path if it did. Such self-condemnation. But God doesn't hold you guilty. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who do you identify with? You have no right to condemn yourself if you're in Christ. Amen. None. You have no right to have a guilty conscience. You have no right to shame yourself or others. Amen. None. Been set free. Hebrews 10:22 says this, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. See, he has already done his part. Identify with it. You are not guilty. You do not deserve shame. Why? Because he's already sprinkled you. He's cleansed you. So what do we do when those things come? Lay them down. Don't hold on to them. What if they follow me? Lay them down. Don't hold on to it. What if it comes back? Lay it down. Don't hold on to it. Don't pick up. Don't ever pick it up. Don't ever buy what the enemy's telling you. Don't ever buy it. Don't ever listen. You're just a duck quacking. Honestly, don't buy it. Do what Jesus did. Well, here's what the word says, not your distortion of it. He says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Lucky me, it didn't even rely on me. It relied on him. I don't have to do anything but believe who he says I am. You don't have to do anything but believe what he says you are. You are righteous. You are free. Live free. People, live free. I'm sure Natalie deals with this stuff all the time. And people coming for help. And you know what? People need help. They need to talk to people and stuff. I'm a processor. I think myself to death. Other people need to talk and talk and talk and talk, right? I don't know how. People got to have a real anointing to do some of the things counselors and stuff do. Because there's got to be a not only a love, but a patience and compassion for where people are at. But at some point, you're free. He sets you free. Let me just show you how to walk free. That's good. I tell Austin all the time, that's just stupid thinking. I do. How can you think like that? That's just dumb. It's not what God says. If it's not God, it's pretty dumb. Well, how come? What if? Dumb questions. He did. That's the answer. There's no what ifs. It's what he did. If he says he set me free, I'm going to live free. When the enemy says you're not free, I'm going to remind him the word says I'm free. Because that's what it says. And you ain't going to convince me any different. Unless you got a different version that says something else, I'm going to tell you not to read that one. But this is probably one of my favorite ones. Because the damage done with Adam and Eve misusing their freedom, the earth has paid for. We wonder why society is the way society is. Because we allowed corruption to come into everything God created. And we have to pay the consequences for that. You know, we live here in this world. We're going to pay the consequences of it. The world's hard. Why? Because we made a bad choice in misusing, actually, our freedom. So now, even though he set me free, I still have a responsibility. And I'm accountable for it. Yeah. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So it doesn't matter what the world's like. It doesn't matter what circumstance you are in. He has given you everything you need to be joyful, to overcome, to be more than a conqueror, to walk your life powerful, to not let things bother you, to just walk above it. He's given you everything you need to walk righteously, to not fall into snares, not be trapped by the enemy. He's given you everything you need. He's removed every excuse just with these few words. He's given you you have everything you need. But there's no but. I don't have, but he's given you everything you need. If you don't have it, you don't need that. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, how many of you identify with that? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He's given you everything you need in setting you free to escape the corruption that came into this world. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration. We should apologize. And I'm not a Green New Deal person or all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we do owe this world apology. Why? Because we didn't identify with who we are. We were told to have dominion over this world. And it's in chaos because we're not being who we're called to be. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay, see, it's been corrupted, and brought into the freedom and glory of who? You. The children of God. You're going to usher in the liberty and the freedom and the glory of God into this world. See, when you walk anywhere you walk, because you're in the kingdom, it becomes kingdom land. Ambassador of Christ, wherever I go, it's kingdom land. What do? I'm ushering in freedom, uncorruption, fixing decay everywhere I walk. Why? Because that's who I am. That's who you are. I don't care the circumstance. If God's called you to be there, no matter what it looks like, you're bringing heaven with you. So, you've been set free from sin and death. You've been set free from guilt and shame. And you have been set free from corruption. In conclusion, stand with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who would say they're in Christ? Raise your hand high. Okay, you're in Christ? Okay, so he's speaking to you, right? You need to identify with what he says here, okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you don't have to. You're going to want to, but you don't have to. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Okay. In the beginning, God created, right? What did he say at the end of creation? What? Didn't point out the flaws? Didn't say but? No? It was good. It was very good. Right? Where does sin exist with the new creation? What? Say louder.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Sin does not exist with the new creation. Okay? If you've been made new, sin doesn't exist with you. Period. There's no such thing. It hasn't come into existence in the new creation. You can ponder that. The old is gone. Okay, where is sin?
Gone.
Okay, just want to make sure we're on the same page. What's here? The new is here. What are you going to identify with? Okay, some of the biggest problems in the church are mindsets that can't let go of the old. It is that simple. The process may be long and hard, but it is really that simple. If you believe who God says you are. And I just want to end on this verse because it removes you from the equation. John 8, 36. So if Jesus Christ has set you free, you're free. So Father, I thank you for each person standing here that identifies with you because you have set them free from everything this world and the enemy wants to throw at them. Everything. It's like water on a duck's back to them, Father. It can't stick. It just rolls right off because you have set them free. You've set their minds free. You've set their hearts free. You've set the penalties of everything that was before aside and erased it, that now they just get to partake in your glory. And I thank you for that. I bless your people with truth. Speak truth to them, Father. Let them see who you are in them. And I thank you for it, and I bless them as they go. Let them be the light that carries your glory into a world that needs to see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.